All right, Brother Sean, go right ahead, sir. The floor is yours.
All right, can you hear me, Brother Vic?
I hear you loud and clear. Yes, sir.
Awesome. All right. Well, our first person that I would like to introduce is Brother Chris. He has, you can see that the hand of God has been on his life the past few months here. And last night at the youth service, you can tell he was just getting after it. And my wife and I were, you know, driving home, and we were talking, and, you know, we just felt that there is something special really going on in Brother Chris's life. And so I would just like to give him the floor and, you know, let him tell us what's on his heart. Brother Chris, you there?
Brother Chris, can you hear us?
I just saw that you you just muted yourself. Now you're
Hello,
unmuted.
Can you guys hear me?
Yep, there you
yes.
are.
Oh, sorry about that.
Oh, no worries. Go for it, man.
Good afternoon, everybody. I'd say, first off, praise the Lord. And I don't know what I'd do without everybody in my church and my pastor and Sister Clark. I'm extremely thankful for everybody. And I just want to start when everything just took place as a kid. And just when I was about 8 years old, I remember my brother asking me, what did I want to be when I was older? And I didn't really know the difference between a pastor and a preacher, but I told him I wanted to be one of those. And he laughed and he said, oh, for real? And I told him, for real, man, that's what I want to do. And as the years went by, things started getting rough. And when I was about 13, from what I could remember, I just started taking another route. I ended up using substances and running around the streets, and it wasn't a good thing that ended up happening. And everything came to a stop when I was about 18, and I had I seen someone very close to me. He ended up killing himself, and you know, I went through some things for a while, and I had came back to the church, and it was a breakthrough. God had given me deliverance, and I neglected it, and I went back to the streets and to substances. And when I was 18, and after that had happened, my father was incarcerated, and for those 2 years he was gone, I was my family was split up. I was away from my family. I was just going through a lot and doing a lot of stuff I wasn't supposed to. And through all that time, I ended up going to mental behavior health, and just went through a lot of stuff. And after I came out of mental behavioral health, you know, I realized that God has his hands on me, that I need to get right. So again, I went back to church and I started getting right. And then again, I backslid and went back to substances. And I've always had a relationship with God, but I didn't understand as much as I do now, because the things that I went through, using substances and everything, it all came to a stop about 4 or 5 months ago. And I had overdosed, and I died. And, you know, I don't know how, when I woke up from the overdose with the people from the hospital and everything waking me up, they had I don't know how, but they asked me what I had took, and I told them. And as soon as I woke up, I don't know how, but I kept telling them I had blood in my lungs, that I can't breathe, I have blood in my lungs. And they kept telling me, how do you know this, how do you know this? And I didn't tell them anything. But as I got to the hospital, and I remember being asleep for a very long time and hearing everybody talk to me, but I don't remember talking back to anyone. It was scary. It was something I did not expect at all. And I just know that it was my last wake up call from the Lord that I need to get right. That he's not. It's not a game. It's not a game. The world has nothing for us. The streets and people that condone those things and want you to go back and want you to do stuff like that. They're not your friends. They're not your family. They call themselves your brothers and your sisters, but they're not. Behind all those people are demons. And now that I'm awake and I understand why I went through everything, is because when I was a baby, I was dedicated to a church at the Carol Berry Chapel in Chino. And I didn't understand what dedicating your child means as a baby. And this is what my mother, Christine, had told me, that being dedicated as a baby, that you're giving your child to God for your child to be used as a vessel. And I understand why I went through everything now, because God was dealing with me in His way. And I'm not mad about anything that I went through at all. I'm thankful for everything I went through. I'm thankful for going through what I went through in my presence, going through what I went through in the streets, going through what I went through with the overdose. And I just can't thank God enough. I can't get enough of Him. There's nothing I can do to not repay Him, but for the remainder and readmission of my life to give to Him. And I've always thought to myself when I'm in church, man, you know, of course we can't see heaven or God because it's too magnifying, we'll die. But what does it sound like? What does heaven sound like, you know? And as they speak of the heavens rejoicing when they gain a soldier, like, when I get lost in prayer, I just feel like when everybody's at church and everybody's speaking tongues and everybody's yelling and praising the Lord and yes, you know, it's just, and the music's playing. That's what I feel like heaven sounds like. Everybody just being together and just praising the Lord and celebrating, rejoicing. And I just love it. And honestly, when I get lost in prayer at church, it's not an act. I love the Lord, and I thank Him for everything He's put me through. And I thank God. I'm thankful for Him bringing me back to Him. I'm thankful for Him pulling me out of where I was, for pulling me out of anger, for delivering me from having to take 4 or 5 medicines a day for my mental behavior, for pulling me away from drug abuse, from pulling me away from people I didn't need to be around. And this verse out of Psalms chapter 149, it's 1 and 2, and it says, "Praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song and His praise in the congregation of saints. Let Israel rejoice in Him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king." And verse 3 as well says, "Let them praise His name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto Him with the timbre and harp." And verse 4 also says, "For the Lord taketh pleasure in His people. He will beautify the meek with salvation." And back there through the whole quarantine and everything, the lockdown, coming out of my overdose, the relationship with God that I got, I didn't understand why I felt so good to hear everybody pray in church, just to be getting lost in prayer and just to hear everyone. It was just something else. It's something that's better than anything I've ever touched in this world. There's no high. There's no substance. There's no feeling. There's no euphoria that could ever beat the feeling of His holiness, of the Holy Ghost coming down and touching His people. And I'm thankful for deliverance and salvation and for being brought back. And When I used to get angry, I didn't understand. But now I understand that it was the enemy trying to keep me in his satisfaction. But out of Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 7, it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you expected end and unexpected end." And when I had read that, now I understand why it's not good to be angry, why it's not good to live in vexation of the spirit, why it's not good to want the things of this world that you can't take with you to heaven, things that are carnal that we can't keep, things that are carnal that don't matter. They may matter here while we're in the flesh because that's what we're still in. But when the Lord comes and he takes his people, I just don't care about any of this stuff here. I just care about being in those church, in the church when those doors open. I just care about being upon my brothers and sisters, not only in the flesh, but in the spirit. And it's when I walk in a church, it's just something different. I feel like nothing outside those walls can touch me. I feel like nothing can get to me. And it can't. Now that I know God and I have a relationship with him, wherever I go, he is with me. He is with all of us. Even when I feel like he's not there and I feel like I can't feel him, I just get up and I pray because I know he's there. And I speak to him. And when I'm speaking tongues, I don't know what it is, but I know I'm talking to him. And I know he hears me because he hears every cry and he hears every prayer. And he loves his people. He takes pleasure in his people. And I understand Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 12 says, For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. And I understand why I went through everything I went through from a kid to now. And now that I understand these things, I want more. I want more of God. I want to stay with him. Every day is something that wants to pull me back. And I'm not going back. I'm not turning back because there is no turning back.
Amen, amen,
amen. And I want to stay there. The enemy has no authority over God's people, over his children, his sons and his daughters. And it's going to remain that way because God's love is eternal. Always and forever, he's going to take care of his people. He loves his people. Man, I don't ever want to go back. People every day want me to go back. And they make fun of me, but I tell them that's all right. Because wisdom's going to laugh at you in the day that you're going to seek it. I don't have to worry about anybody saying anything about me praising the Lord because this is where I need to be. When they say, oh, you're a slave to God, amen, yes, I am. And it's going to stay that way. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Brother Chris. That was so powerful. I received a few texts from some people saying how much of a blessing it was. That was really, really good. And thank you for opening up your heart to us and sharing a little bit of your testimony. And like I said at the beginning of the call, the hand of God is certainly on you. And I did not know that you had expressed that to your brother when you were younger. But God definitely has a plan for your life, and he wants to use you. And you can see the hand of God on your life. And we are this church, and I am so proud of you for the change that you have made so drastically in such a short amount of time. So we are so thankful for you, and we're constantly praying for you, and we're pulling for you, man. So, well, the next person that I want to bring up is Mr. Jacob Roseberry. Are you there, Jacob? Are you unmuted?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. All right. Yeah, we all love Brother Jacob. He is a huge help around the church. He does anything that you ask him, and he's got a good attitude about it. And he made a wise career choice and going into mechanical engineering, and then going and working for Johnson & Johnson. So you can tell that he's got a great head on his shoulders. He's got a bright future ahead of him, and we are so proud of him. He is such a good young man and an example to all the young guys that are growing up, and people can look to him. So, Jacob, the floor is yours, and we are so proud of you.
All right. Well, I greatly appreciate it, and I do want to say a great big thank you to Brother Sean. He's helped me a lot with my college and internship. He's been a huge help, so I'm really grateful to him in that area. And Brother Chris's testimony, that was awesome. That was amazing. It was a blessing. And especially when you talked about praise, that was such a confirmation to me, because that was what I wanted to talk about tonight. And in the section of Psalms that you used was right in the middle of the area that I'm not being allowed to check. Okay, should be a little louder. The section of Psalms that Brother Chris was reading out of, that is right in the area that I had was planning to read tonight. So that was a great confirmation. So if I can start a little earlier in the book of Psalms, in chapter 63, it says, "To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus I will bless thee while I live, I will lift up my hands in thy name." And in the Old Testament, it was the priests who offered up sacrifices and offerings unto the Lord. But we see in 1 Peter, it says that ye are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. And that's what I want to talk about tonight, is specifically to our young people, is that now that we're in the New Testament, each and every one of us is the royal priesthood, and it's our job to declare the praises of him. And if we look in Psalms chapter 145, it says, "One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts." In Psalm 148, it says, "Both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven." And in Psalm chapter 150, this is the one that we use in a lot of our songs. "Praise him in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and the harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord." And if I could find the book of Second Chronicles, let me find it real quick. But it's in the book of Second Chronicles. It's the dedication of Solomon's temple. And I don't have it here, but I do remember what it was saying. And it was talking about the dedication of his temple and all the priests that were there and how everybody was dressed up. And it talks about that when they began to play the sound upon the instruments, and when they began to lift up their voices in praise, that the glory of the Lord fell there so great that the ministers could not even stand to minister. The priests could not even stand to minister. And I remember one service many years ago, Brother Coburn saying that, just an offhanded remark, saying that we don't wait for God to move, and then we praise him. We praise him, and then God moves. And that has really stuck with me throughout the years. And you know what? I've tried to practice that in every way that I can. And I want to say to our young people, what would happen? What would it do to a service if every one of us would lift up our voices and praise with everything within us? And what kind of revival would we have if every service we'd make one sound that would be to be heard in praising and thanking? if the glory of the Lord filled the house so that we could not stand, like it did at the dedication of the temple. And so I just, it was, you know, very, very short, little devotion. Hopefully I filled my 5 minutes, and I want to say, young people, let's agree together that every time we enter into the house of God, we're going to praise with everything we've got. That's all I have for tonight.
Thank you, Brother Jacob. That was really good. There's a lot to be learned in praising God when we may not feel like it during services. We may be tired and feeling out of it, but we got to praise God anyways. So that was very, very good. Thank you, Brother Jacob. Now, the next person that I want to bring up, she has been a bit of a big sister to me. She was there the night that I was baptized. I cannot say the exact conversation that we had right after I was baptized. You may ask me one-on-one, but I don't feel comfortable sharing it now because it's a bit embarrassing. But, Sister Misha has been a huge blessing to our church, and she has been a blessing to my family. And my family absolutely loves and adores Misha, and she always, every time she comes over to our house, she always makes us laugh and knows how to put a smile on her face. So we appreciate Sister Misha, and so we want to give her the floor. Are you there, Sister Misha? Misha?
Hello?
All right, there you are.
Can you hear me?
Yep, the floor is yours.
Good evening, church. Thank you, Sean, for that introduction. And thank you, Brother Chris and Brother Jacob, for wonderful testimonies. I was allowed the privilege to be there with the young people last night for a wonderful message from Brother Chavez. And I just kind of wanted to address the young people, especially as I sat there. I was reminded of myself at 22 years old when I first came to the church and moved to Southern California. Brother Brendan and Sister Kendra were, you know, are good friends of mine, and they were wonderful enough to extend the invitation for me to move here. And I remember being completely unsure of what that meant for my life and where that would take me and what my future held. But something about it felt right. And at 22 years old, I moved here. And almost a decade later, at 31, I've had many jobs. I have lived in many places. I've made up my mind. I've changed my mind many times. I've made new friends. And the number one thing I realized almost a decade later is that I am no closer really to knowing God's plan for my life now than I was then. But that being said, I have a much better understanding of who I am. And the only way that I got that was by digging in and allowing God to change and fold and form and mold me over the years. And as I looked around at the young people, I remembered being that age and the uncertainty that I had of who I was and who I wanted to be. And I know that some of our young people may be struggling with, you know, the idea of who they are or what they should be doing. And this is a time in your life where you're making plans and the world says one thing and church, you know, your parents say another. And I know that some are probably even wondering if they want to serve God, if this is the life that they want. And one of my favorite scriptures, because it helped to ground me, is Jeremiah 1:5. It says, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." And my favorite line in that scripture is, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee." I just want to let anybody who's struggling with trying to figure out where they should be, what they should do if they want to live this life, I just want to let you know, because I've been there, I can say for an assurity that you do not find yourself by going out into the world. The world does not create individuals. The world creates byproducts of its fads, of its short-lived pleasures and desires, and people in the world then, once those fads are passed, they are looking to the next thing. They want the world to give them the next fix. The world will never help you be an individual. The only way to know who you are is to consult God, because before you were formed, he knew you. And Brother Chris actually touched this other scripture that I had, which is Jeremiah 29:11, where he talks about the thoughts that he has toward you. At no point has God had a negative thought for you. So his plans for you are perfect, and his knowledge of who you are is right. And you'll know God better by the trials that you go through, and the trials that he puts us through are not to discourage you, but they are to help you see the plan and the bigger picture for your life. In my hardest trials, God proved nothing but his love and his faithfulness toward me. And in my hardest times, I learned on my knees that my greatest weapon was prayer, and that the greatest war cry I could give God was praise. And a holy life is the example of your victory when you do those things. So I don't know exactly who this is for. I don't know what everyone is going through. But if you want to know the plans for your life, the only way to find them is in God, because he knew them before you were born. And he has no negative thoughts toward you, so nothing he puts before you is to harm you or hurt you. It is all to take you to your expected end. God has an expected end for everyone, for every single one of us. So if you're struggling with understanding who you are or where you should go, get down on your knees in prayer, as Brother Chavez was talking about last night. You will only find these answers in prayer. And if you let God's will be your desire and you let his expected end be your ultimate goal, you will learn exactly who you are, and you will no longer question where you're going, because you'll have enough faith to know that no matter what the end is, God is carrying you there. And that's all I wanted to say.
That was excellent, Sister Misha. And had a lot of wisdom and a lot of personal experience built into the wisdom that you're giving. And we really appreciate that. So the next person that I want to bring up, Brother Israel, are you on the line? If you're unmuted. Brother Israel? Brother Israel, are you there? Well, while Izzy is trying to unmute himself, I just would like to say that I sincerely appreciate Brother Israel. He has been a strength to me. We're the same age, and he has always been a strength to me, a good friend to me. We have many memories together at camp and a few other, and just, you know, all throughout, you know, our you know, teenage years and young adult years. So I sincerely appreciate Brother Israel, and just his testimony alone has always been a strength to me. Just showing me what the power of prayer can do and bringing you through so many circumstances that have the odds stacked against you. So, and he has a lot of wisdom. And so, Brother Israel, I want to give you the floor if you're unmuted. You there?
And Brother Sean, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it looks like we're having a little bit of an issue with Brother Israel's line on the system. I don't know if he can hear us or not, but for some reason it's having an issue, that particular line.
Okay.
So we may have to do Brother Israel at a later time.
That's fine. Then I can give it to you for your last one.
Yes, sir. Okay, we're going to go ahead and open up that line right now. Before we do that, we want to let everyone know we are so happy to hear all these great testimonies and devotions from our young people. And now, out of the mouth of babes, last but not least, we're going to hear from one of our younger sisters, little sister Gracie. I'm going to make sure she's on the line. This is Sister Alice Smithin's granddaughter. She is a very brave young lady. I believe she's only 9 years old. But we heard through her grandmother, Sister Alice, and from her very own mouth, little Sister Gracie, that she wants to share some things with us tonight. She is full of the Holy Ghost, Church, and she wants to share a testimony with us tonight. And I want to make sure that she can speak up and we can hear. Sister Gracie, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, and we can hear you, Sister Gracie, so feel free to speak up loud and clear. You go right ahead, young lady.
Okay. Wait, hold on.
You're doing fine. Just go ahead and share with us whatever's on your heart.
Okay. Jesus blessed me with the Holy Ghost, and I've had amazing and wonderful experiences. And one of them is when me and my grandma were laughing really hard because I couldn't stop speaking in tongues. And I put my hands down because I was ready to sit down, and I just kept on going. And I kept on going until we got to the house. And that's the longest I've ever spoken in tongues. The other time is recently, I believe the last time I went to church. That's when I was going to the altar, and I lift up my hands, I start praying, and the next thing you know, I'm speaking in tongues out loud, and it was different for me, and for a second, I was like, whoa, but it was different because I usually keep it to myself when I speak in tongues, but that was the first time I actually spoke out loud. And, yeah, that's basically it.
And that was powerful, young lady. That was amazing. Church, we heard some powerful testimonies tonight and messages of faith and encouragement from our young people, from our older youth all the way down to our very young children, 9 years of age. But you could hear the faith, the excitement, the wisdom. Matter of fact, that we got some, we're already getting text messages like Brother Sean said, we got a message here from Sister Alina. This is powerful. They are on the same page with the scriptures. She was commenting on how that several of our testimonies continue to reference the scriptures that Brother Chris brought up at the beginning. And what a powerful testimony we heard from Brother Chris. With that said, church, why don't we just thank God for what God is doing in our young people, with our young people. He is developing some great things in them. Let's go ahead and thank God for that right now, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for what you're doing from our children and to our young people and our older young people, Lord Jesus. You are developing some great things, Lord God, that there's substance here. There's wisdom. There is development that is taking place. We thank you for it, Lord God. We ask you to keep your hand upon them as they continue along their journey in their walk with you, Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And with that said, church, we want to remind everybody about our Father's Day service that will be taking place tomorrow morning. We want to welcome everyone there. God bless all of you. Have a great night. Amen.